Good day to you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Film Focus, episode 176, the review for Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. Episode of Film Focus. I'm your host, the Hypersonic55, and I'm glad that you decided to join me for some film-related discussion. And we are once again returning to the MonsterVerse created by Warner Brothers and Legendary with Godzilla Kong, also known as Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla Cross Kong, although I think the X in the middle is silent. But yeah, Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. Now, I know a lot of people have been looking forward to this film since the first trailer came around, but I wasn't one of them. I'm not gonna lie, my thoughts on the MonsterVerse as it has progressed has fluctuated a great deal. When Godzilla first came out, I was in love with that film. I acknowledge it had certain issues here and there, but I loved the tone, the atmosphere, the way in which it treated the characters with respect when it came to scale, scope, their heft, and the fact that when you did get the monster or monster action towards the end of the film, it felt impactful, brilliant, and kick-ass. And then you had Kong Skull Island, which I thought was a decent action film, and they did some cool things to expand the history of Monarch and give this world at least a little bit more flavor to it. But I didn't find that film as entertaining as a lot of other people did. And then when Godzilla King of the Monsters came out, I thought that was a pretty cracking way to bring Godzilla back, along with some of these classic Titan-based characters that have only ever been seen in their, you know, original suits in the Toho movies. So to be able to see them in CGI with such majesty and chaos, it was great. While, again, it still had some issues when it came to the human-based characters, I think the film score, the presentation was wonderful. So then you get to Godzilla versus Kong. And, you know, from the time that those trailers came out, I was like, I like a good grudge match as much as the next person, but it felt like from the time that I saw the trailers, they were going with a totally different approach in terms of how they were treating these titans. These big, hefty guys, the sense of scale and like the sort of scary element of them was dialed back a bit. The human characters became less important, and it just sort of devolved into a very straight up, like, basic action film. And the way in which they handled Mechagodzilla in that film, I wasn't overly keen on. And that's probably just preference due to the fact that, you know, every film franchise has its lore, its history. So when you see a different interpretation of it, which you feel doesn't need to be changed, you're just like, why? But yeah, Godzilla vs. Kong, I can see why people like that film. But for me, it sort of felt like, you know, was it the least enjoyable of these films so far, because it just sort of devoided into big action spectacle, but without much substance. And when I started seeing the trailers for The New Empire, I was like, this is really just doubling down on all the elements I dislike about the previous film. So I wasn't intending to watch this film as soon as I did. I ended up watching it pretty much the day after it came out. And to my surprise, Godzilla Kong The New Empire was actually pretty decent, at least in the sense that it was better than I expected. I was expecting to hate this film, I'm not gonna lie, but I ended up coming out of it with a smile on my face. Now, I'm not gonna lie, this film wasn't great, but it wasn't actually terrible either. It's kind of hard for me to figure out where I would rank it along the other films, because this film feels like the other side of the coin to the previous one. It's very similar in tone. It's just that they doubled down on the action and spectacle side of things and really focused on the Titans. However, this comes at the detriment of any noteworthy plot and character that you can latch onto that either makes sense or is of interest. And, you know, the plot for this film is pretty simple, and when you say it out loud, it's not that complicated. However, this film attempts to do a lot. And in a lot of ways, while you're watching the film, you notice that there's a lot of superfluous and unnecessary things in here that you could have just taken out. and certain plot elements that didn't need to be in this film, where you could have just like streamlined a lot of things to make a more lean film. But as it stands, Godzilla Kong the New Empire isn't bad. I can see why this film is so polarizing, though. There's a lot of people I've seen in comment sections online that love up the film, but there's also people that hate this film as well. And there are a few people like me that sort of sit somewhere in the middle where I was entertained, I'm not going to lie. And there were certain things in the presentation side of things that warrants like a viewing for sure. But I wouldn't say this is something that you immediately need to watch unless you're a fan of like Godzilla and King Kong, essentially. But we'll get into that stuff in the review. So as per usual, we'll talk about the story, characters, presentation, and overall conclusion. So without further ado, let's jump in. Alright, so the plot for this film can be summed up as the following. Taking place a few years after the events of the previous film, we have Kong now adjusting to his home in the Hollow Earth. And while exploring, he happens to find a new bunch of his kind that are lurking about in the deeper regions of the Hollow Earth. However, they are being ruled by a tyrannical leader who happens to have an ace up his sleeve, which keeps everybody under control. And while up on the surface, we know that Godzilla is running around doing his usual thing of being a menace, running around causing destruction, and he's a little bit more agitated than usual, and he has a plan of action that gets the attention of Monarch. While Monarch also notices that there is a signal coming from the Hollow Earth that hasn't been recognized before. And this gets everybody all involved for this big come together towards the end of the film, where Kong along with Monarch have to get the attention of Godzilla and then have them two team up in order to take on this crazy threat that lurks beneath the surface. And that is a way for me to summarize this plot without going into the area of spoilers. Now, it felt like a lot of the plot was just random scenarios strung together just to try and make the next action sequence happen. A lot of the things with the human characters where they try to add a little bit of drama or weight or possibly add additional mythology to this world that they've created, it just doesn't seem to come together very well. It's not written in a way that is believable. And because a lot of the story beats that the human characters go through are just the sort of bare bone basic stuff that you've seen before, but just without the same care and attention, it comes across as just basic. And when it comes to mythology and lore, I live for that material. I love having a well-established world that has rules, mythology, and has all these interesting things that when you hear about them, whether they be verbal or, you know, visual references where you can make a world feel just like more lived in, I love it. However, it has to be handled correctly. And some of the stuff in this film, while interesting, I don't think it was executed very well, and some of the stuff that happened in this film felt like it contradicted what came before. And that's where these films, I feel, especially in the last two, have sort of gotten into this weird area where they want to try and flesh this world out. However, it feels like with every new entry, they're just introducing random new rules that don't fully adhere to what's come before. It's just like, this is this world, and then you go about and keep saying, and then, without making it feel like it's a cohesive whole. So there was a few times where I'm listening to this film establish some of its new lore, but I'm just like, but when I think about it, does it really make sense? And maybe I'm thinking too much about this. At the end of the day, a lot of people want to see just two giant kaijus beating the crap out of each other. Or at least a few more, because there are a few more than like just Godzilla and Kong in this film. Obviously, you can see that from the trailers. However, to me, it's like, okay, if you're going to include all this extra plot and lore-based material, you gotta not only make it make sense, but also make it feel like it adds to the film and not like take away from it. Because I think one of the biggest sins of this film is that it's only really good when the action's happening. And besides a few action sequences that take place earlier on in the film, the best part of the film is towards the end, where it's like the final act where like all of the primary kaijus go to beat the crap out of each other. And it's really fun. It's quite entertaining, but it takes so long to get there. The first two thirds just feel like you're working your way through the slowest of mud. You're in a big old swamp, just trying to get through boring, uninteresting, weird and unnecessary plot material just so you can get to the good stuff. I just don't understand the logic that was going on here. I can. It's just the execution just wasn't there. I will say, though, that this film has a lot of unexpected humor, funnily enough. And, you know, some of the human stuff was okay, but most of those jokes are tired, basic stuff that you've seen before. It was more so to do with the kaijus themselves. Kong, his little new, like, monkey partner, and even Godzilla have some moments where they're busting out some pretty humorous stuff that I did not expect, and it made me laugh. And that will be one point in this film that I will give it. Like, the humor, while not always effective, but when it did make me laugh, there's some good stuff. Alright, and now it's time to talk about the characters. So I'll just get the human people out of the way because, again, they were a big nothing. A big wet fart on this film. I felt so bad for Rebecca Hall. She's such a good actress and she's given the most horrible material to work with. It's very basic and she has to do a lot of exposition and a lot of like technical jargon talk of nonsense, which just isn't very befitting of her. Her character is just a big nothing. Dan Stevens as Trapper, he has a lot of charm. And that was the only thing that was keeping this character from being completely crap. And Brian Tyree Henry, again, great actor, just given a lot of really basic stuff to do. He was just the bare bones basics of comic relief. But some of that humor worked because, again, it's him elevating the material. Everybody else in this film couldn't give a crap. They were just there to do their jobs. And again, this is not me like, you know, giving crap to the actors. They did what they could with the material that they were working with. It's just that their characters are a big nothing. But let's talk about the actual characters you care about, Godzilla and Kong. Now, I would say this is definitely more of a King Kong-centric film. He is definitely the primary focus in this film because a lot of the story revolves around his journey as he discovers more about the Hollow Earth, learns more about his kind, gets a new little monkey companion to hang around with, and then has to basically run back to the surface and get a hold of Godzilla and then bring him along down into Hollow Earth to cause some chaos against this new threat that's lurking beneath the surface. And Kong is definitely more humanized than ever. I think this is the most human version of Kong that we've ever seen. More so than Skull Island and more so than the Peter Jackson version from 2005. And sometimes I felt like it came at a bit of a detriment of the character because sometimes I felt like I was literally just looking at a more human-based, like, ape man as opposed to, like, an ape that had just a few human elements. I feel like at times he felt a little too human for me because he was emoting a lot in his face. But, you know, those were minor quibbles. For the most part, Kong is definitely a more capable, like, individual in this film. And Godzilla, he definitely has a lot less screen time. But when he's there and he's doing his thing, he is super fun. This guy doesn't give a crap. He is causing chaos left, right, and center. And while I wouldn't say he's as destructive and, you know, dangerous as he was in, like, say, Shin Godzilla or like Godzilla Minus One, this version of Godzilla, he is a menace. And it's fun to watch him do his thing on occasions. As for the weird little monkey dude, like the little orange one that was dubbed a Mini Kong in the trailer by Brian Tyree Henry's character, he was actually a lot of fun. He was a little prick, but he was also he earned his stripes and had like some fun moments in the film. And the new monkey that was shown in the film, the sort of leader of like the Kong dudes down in the Hollow Earth, I think his name is Scar King. He had a lot of anime villain energy to him. I won't say why, but when you see him in the film, you'll know what I'm talking about. Those guys were fun, and they were obviously the highlight when it comes to the character department. All right, and now it's time to talk about what is arguably the best element of the film, the presentation, specifically the visuals. One thing that's been consistent about the MonsterVerse so far is its attention to detail when it came to bringing these titans slash kaijus to life. Bringing so much energy and cool elements to their animation, but also bringing all that finer detail when it comes to their faces, their bodies. Whether you're talking about simple things like the fur or scales or seeing how they animate and move, is pretty good. And across the board, the detail in the characters is great because you get to see a lot of close-ups of these characters, even in the daytime as well. So normally when you're doing visual effects, sometimes you put stuff in the night or at low lighting so you can hide some of the visual imperfections. But when you're doing it in the daylight, there's no place to hide your visual material. And I feel like they did a great job of bringing these characters to life in the daytime and making them still look pretty realistic and detailed. I will admit, though, the one thing, actually, I think it's a couple things that this film does that I don't think was done as well as previous films is scale and the weight. One of the things I've always loved about Godzilla 2014 and probably King of the Monsters specifically is how they made these characters feel big. Shot from low angles, everything felt enormous. And the way in which like they came across cities and stuff, they looked like big old mountains moving through and causing all sorts of chaos. And that was something that I think was starting to get lost with the previous film, but is definitely not nearly as much of a thing in this one. You get to see the kaijus fight at all sorts of angles, which is cool for, you know, getting to see a variety of different like angles when people fight, but you do lose that sense of bigness about the characters. Scale was such a big thing when it comes to these larger than life characters, and when you lose that, you kind of lose a bit of the illusion of these kaijus. But also weight is a big deal. One of the reasons that Godzilla 2014 and Pacific Rim work so well is that these characters are big, they're slow, and when they step, they have heft. When they step down, they cause a big crunch in the ground. When they fall heavy and crush destruction, everything. And I feel like Adam Wingard and the people behind this film obviously wanted to speed these characters up so that they could do all their crazy wrestling-based moves and stuff like that. That's why I think some people were a little deterred when you could see Godzilla running along with Kong because he's not that fast. But yeah, obviously they wanted to speed the dude up to be able to do all these action things. The problem is, though, I don't think they did enough in the animation department to still represent all that heft and weight that comes with all that movement. They're big mountain-based people running around causing chaos. There should be a little bit more attention to weight and gravity. But again, I feel like they substituted that in order to get their action sequences done in the way in which they did so. I know this is probably a minor thing that most people won't give a crap about, but for me, these are like the minor things that I pay attention to. And finally, there's the music. Ugh. So when it comes to the film score, you have the return of Junkie XL with Antonio DiLorio. And their score is okay, but there is not really any memorable themes there, which is a shame because, you know, you had Alexandre Desplat and Bear McCreary that worked on the previous two Godzilla films, and those scores are pretty good. Kong Skull Island, I don't really remember much from that, and Godzilla X Kong didn't really have much memorable music to it either. But it also doesn't help that even though their score wasn't very memorable, you couldn't really hear that much of it because this film decides to add a whole load of licensed music in there. And licensed music, I don't have an issue with in films in general, as long as they are making good use of it. But the amount of times it shows up in this film, just for no reason, it's just bizarre. And it's just like, what is happening here? Why is this song here? What was the reason for this? And it just goes for this weird trend that I've noticed in like certain films in recent years, where after you really got like a good time with the first Guardians of the Galaxy film, there are other films that try to emulate that sort of needle drop, making good use of music in film, and there's only a handful of them that's actually done it well. I would say Baby Driver was the last film that I saw that really made use of a soundtrack in a good way. But then you had films like, the 2016 Suicide Squad, or the Mario film from last year, or even Sonic 2, where songs just show up out of nowhere for no reason. You're just like, what is this? Just trust in your film score, you know, composers, and make them make the music. What are you doing? It was very frustrating at times. All right, so now we reached the conclusion. Overall, Godzilla Kong, The New Empire was okay. It had enough going on with the action, humor, and the kaiju-based characters to warrant a viewing. This film is the very definition of a popcorn film, where you turn your brain off at the door, sit back and take it all in. I think your enjoyment of this film will depend on how much enjoyment you found in the MonsterVerse prior to this one, and whether you're looking for something that has a little bit of substance to it, or if you're okay with just waiting a little while before you get into like some crazy action scenes where giant monkeys and giant dinosaurs go about and beat the crap out of each other. But yeah, whatever your thoughts are, please be sure to drop them in the comment section below, or hit me up on Twitter where I'm at Hypersonic55 or at FilmFocus55. Check out the podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, and other places where podcasts can be found. And yeah, I guess that's it for now. Thank you for listening, as always. And until the next time, this is the Hypersonic55 signing out. Peace.